breaking news tonight, a party war erupting. Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, and a major fight over alleged snooping into secret files. One campaign now going to court. Also from Russia with love, Donald Trump's controversial new comments about Putin. Record rush, over 100 million Americans in the busiest holiday escape ever. Gas prices plunging, roads and airports packed. We're inside the nerve center where the nation's biggest airline is bracing. On the run, the Texas teen who killed four people while driving drunk, then stayed out of jail with an infamous affluenza defense. Tonight he's gone and the FBI has joined the hunt. And tanning bed banned. The feds fighting back against skin cancer. Millions of Americans wouldn't be allowed to use them. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. There's breaking news tonight from the campaign trail. Bernie Sanders' campaign has just filed a federal lawsuit against the Democratic National Committee as a major presidential campaign goes to war with its own party. It all erupted today when the DNC accused Sanders staff members of snooping into a massive trove of private data from Hillary Clinton's campaign. It's a huge drama playing out as the two candidates get set to clash in tomorrow night's debate. And Clinton's campaign manager saying moments ago, our data was stolen. NBC's Andrea Mitchell has all the late details.
Bernie Sanders' campaign, which caught fire online, today got caught snooping on Hillary Clinton's campaign research, admitting that a low-level staffer, and perhaps others, took advantage of a computer breach in Democratic Party data files to access Clinton's secret voter lists. But Sanders' team quickly fired back, accusing the Democratic Party of sabotaging them.
We're running a clean campaign. We're going to beat Secretary Clinton and everybody else in this campaign on the issues. We don't need dirty tricks.
Bernie Sanders' campaign fired the staff member who claims he was just trying to prove that the system was vulnerable.
I did not download any voter file data. The only thing I looked at was making sure that it was not our data.
But documents obtained by NBC News show the damage. For 40 minutes, the Sanders campaign searched key Clinton target voters. The party chair, long associated with Clinton, immediately cut off Sanders' access to his own voter profiles, potentially crippling his insurgent campaign.
If the shoe were on the other foot and the Clinton campaign had accessed Sanders' campaign data inappropriately, Sanders supporters and the Sanders campaign would expect me to react in the exact same way.
Late today, the Sanders campaign filed a lawsuit against the Democratic Party, seeking an injunction, saying it is hamstrung without access to its own voter data. Sanders supporters exploded with outrage online. It's a classic showdown, the outsider versus the establishment. Sanders, a loner with little organization and no entourage, firing up millennials, attracting huge crowds, now closing in on Clinton in Iowa, and slightly ahead in New Hampshire. Tonight, the Clinton campaign accused the Sanders team of stealing its data in what is the first really nasty confrontation between two rivals who have been, until now, remarkably civil. And 24 hours from now, they have to face each other in a debate. Lester?
All right, Andrea, thanks. Meantime, on the Republican side, Donald Trump is making headlines yet again, this time with eyebrow-raising new comments about Vladimir Putin. As a mutual admiration grows between the GOP presidential frontrunner and the Russian leader who's been a major thorn in the side of the U.S., NBC's Katie Turr has details.
From Russia with love, Vladimir Putin, famous online for his affection for topless activities, is praising America's Republican frontrunner, saying he is a bright personality, a talented person. And Donald Trump is returning the flattery.
When people call you brilliant, it's always good, especially when the person heads up Russia.
But Putin is infamously accused of ordering murder, both of his political opponents and Russian journalists.
He's running this country, and at least he's a leader, you know, unlike what we have in this country.
No, but again, he kills journalists that don't agree with him.
Well, I think our country does plenty of killing also, Joe.
Since 2000, 25 journalists have died under mysterious circumstances, including Anna Politkovskaya, known for her fearless criticism of the Russian leader. But that's just the beginning. There's also Russia's military aggression in Ukraine and the annexing of Crimea. Putin denies the allegations of murder and claims Crimea historically belonged to Russia. Today, Trump's moral equivalency defense that America kills people too isn't sitting so well. At least with Mitt Romney, who tweeted, "Thug Putin kills journalists and opponents. Our presidents kill terrorists and enemy combatants." After being pressed, Donald Trump did condemn the killing of journalists, but make no mistake, his supporters stand by him, seemingly no matter what he says or who he praises. Katie Turr, NBC News, New York.
President Obama today gave what is likely his final news conference of the year, and for the third time in a week, he sought to reassure Americans that his strategy to battle ISIS is working. He also announced he is commuting the sentences of 95 nonviolent offenders, most with drug convictions. It's the most he's ever commuted at once. The president also thanked Congress for passing a $1.1 trillion spending package. It will prevent a government shutdown through next fall. The FBI has joined in the search for a Texas teen who killed four people while driving drunk, then made national headlines when he stayed out of jail with an infamous affluenza defense. His lawyers arguing he didn't learn consequences growing up wealthy. Now, after failing to check in with a probation officer, officials say he and his mother are missing. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez reports from Texas.
Tonight, the manhunt for Ethan Couch is expanding. The FBI and the U.S. Marshals Service joining the search after the 18-year-old missed a mandatory meeting with his probation officer.
I believe he started running right after his last visit to his probation officer. It makes sense that they would want as much of a head start as they could get.
Infamously known as the affluenza teen, Couch was sentenced to 10 years probation after driving drunk and crashing near Fort Worth in 2013.
There's another child in the ditch. Oh, my God.
Four people were killed, nine injured. Couch's blood alcohol level was three times the legal limit. But during sentencing, the defense argued the teen did not understand the consequences of his actions due to his affluent upbringing. That drew outrage on social media.
Affluenza is not a clinically recognized mental disease defect or disorder. It's a little bit of voodoo and smoke and mirrors that were used by Couch's attorney at his sentencing hearing.
Holly Boyles and her daughter Shelby died in the crash.
Quite honestly, since day one, Ethan Couch has never been held accountable for his mistakes.
Authorities say Couch is believed to be on the run with his mother. Today, his attorney said, "We have not been provided with any additional information concerning Ethan's situation. Because of the obvious uncertainty surrounding this matter, it would not be appropriate for us to make any additional public statements at this time." The local sheriff calls Couch his most wanted fugitive.
Do you have any idea where he could be?
No. No, I don't have any specific idea where he could be. I fear he's gone a long way, and I won't be shocked if he's out of the country.
The sheriff says that Couch has already violated his probation by failing to check in. If caught, he could face up to 10 years in prison. Authorities are now offering a $5,000 reward for any information leading to his arrest. Lester.
All right, Gabe, thank you. Tonight, President Obama and the first family are embarking for a two-week vacation in Hawaii. On the way, he will stop in California to meet with families of victims of the San Bernardino terror attack. And we're learning chilling new details about other terror plots that were aborted before that attack from the only person charged in the investigation. We get more from NBC News national correspondent Miguel Almaguer.
It's at this quiet campus, Riverside City College, where according to a 36-page criminal complaint, Enrique Marquez and longtime friend Saeed Farouk planned an attack in 2011. Their plot? To attack this busy library and a packed cafeteria.
Marquez told investigators he and Farouk were going to drop pipe bombs from this second floor area down below. Then as students ran out of the cafeteria, they would shoot them one by one.
The abandoned plots were designed to, quote, maximize the number of casualties.
It's crazy that you would want to hurt so many people that you know.
The complaint alleges the two also targeted the Riverside Freeway at rush hour. Farouk was to throw pipe bombs onto the freeway, then walk along stalled cars shooting into them. Marquez would fire from a hillside.
I think it's plenty dangerous enough without maniacs shooting and bombing you on it.
Facing a judge for the first time this week, Marquez has been charged with three felonies. Prosecutors say there's no evidence Marquez participated in the attack that left 14 dead, but the assault rifles Marquez bought were used in the shooting. After learning of the bloodshed, Marquez himself called 911, telling the operator, "They can trace all the guns back to me." The operator at one point asking, "You said he used your gun?" Marquez, "Yes. Oh my God." Tonight, the shock is gone, but not the grief. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, San Bernardino.
A lot on the minds of Americans as they prepare for the holidays, which for many of us includes travel plans. A holiday travel surge like this one in New York City tonight underway across the country, unlike anything we've seen before, with more than 100 million people expected to be heading out of town, driven by cheap gas and mild weather in many places. As NBC's Tom Costello tells us, the folks who get us there are bracing for the holiday crush.
On the ramp at DFW in Dallas, the morning push as the busiest travel day going into the winter holidays kicks into high gear. American Airlines, the nation's biggest, moving 650,000 passengers today alone. The only weather hang-up today on the West Coast.
San Francisco ground delay program.
At the new state-of-the-art command center, they track every one of their planes, watch the weather, even monitor social media for customer service issues. 7,000 conversations a day. Scott Ramsey is in charge.
If we have passengers that are issuing a complaint, they'll deal with those complaints real time.
If somebody says my flight's delayed or I'm going to miss my connection, how will they help?
They will just start an instant conversation with those people that are on board the airplane.
All airlines will carry some 38 million passengers over the next 2 weeks, many customers taking advantage of low airfares.
For the timing, I think the price is okay.
But it's not just ticket prices that are low. Gas is now hovering near $2 a gallon, a seven-year low, even cheaper in many cities. A big reason more than 91 million Americans will be hitting the road this year.
We do expect to see more people on the road.
They're silly if they don't take advantage of it right now.
On the ground in Michigan today, a 50-car pileup in whiteout conditions. Meanwhile, 3.4 million are traveling by train and bus. Back in Dallas tonight, they're just getting started, hoping the mild weather lasts until everyone is back home safely. Listen to this stat. American Airlines tells me that they are dealing with a million checked bags today alone, Lester. The busiest travel day of this entire holiday period is going to be January 3rd. Everybody rushing to get home. The least busy travel day is Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day. Back to you.
All right, Tom Costello, thanks for the tour there. A revered figure in the Catholic Church is now bound for sainthood. Mother Teresa, who devoted her life to helping the poor in India, will be made a saint after Pope Francis recognized the second of two miracles attributed to her. She will most likely be canonized in September around the 19th anniversary of her death. Still ahead tonight, some say it's as bad as the crack cocaine epidemic of the 1980s, the synthetic drug that triggers bizarre, sometimes deadly behavior in users, how easy it is to get. There is growing alarm over a cheap and highly addictive synthetic drug known as Flocka. It causes all sorts of paranoid, even deadly behavior. In South Florida, it's being compared to the crack cocaine epidemic of the 80s, and it's often sold through the mail. Our senior investigative correspondent, Cynthia McFadden, has the story from the epicenter of the epidemic, Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale is under siege from a new synthetic drug called Flocka. It's creating a crisis for county resources and sending 20 users a day to the overwhelmed emergency room.
They have superhuman strength. They're psychotic, belligerent. It takes a lot of people to hold them down.
People like these, often stripping off their clothes as their temperatures soar up to 105 degrees. Flocka-related deaths in Broward County in the last year, 60.
Of all the drugs that I've seen, cocaine, amphetamines, heroin, the lauded OxyContin, this is the absolute worst.
Part of its appeal, it's so cheap.
$5 will get you high.
$5 will get you high.
I remember just running, feeling like people were chasing me.
In March, Stephanie thought she was smoking pot, but it was laced with Flocka, a white, granular powder.
Where did you end up? On top of a bridge?
On top of a bridge, but I still was seeing people chase me and was still completely paranoid, so I jumped.
Falling three stories into the water.
30 seconds!
Fort Lauderdale police say most of their drug raids these days are for Flocka.
Fort Lauderdale Police Department, search warrant!
Put your hands!
This raid yielding 140 doses and multiple users. Down the street at the Fort Lauderdale bus terminal, we saw three deals go down in under an hour.
the guy in the white T-shirt with the black pants?
The heavyset guy? Yeah. Clapping his hands, yes.
Yeah. Known dealer.
Yes, ma'am.
Flaca is manufactured in China. It has been easily bought online and delivered in the mail here in the U.S.
Some of the companies even offer, if your product is seized by authorities, we'll replace it free of charge.
Dealers can get rich quick. A kilo that costs $1,500 online has a street value of $50,000.
This is the Silicon Valley of drug smuggling.
And it doesn't take a large drug smuggling organization to bring it in.
Sometimes the organization is a college kid who hires his friends.
There's not much of a barrier here for a startup.
We're calling it the devil's drug.
Ray Rapaglia runs a drug rehab center in Fort Lauderdale and says Flaca users present a challenge.
We're not as inclined to accept them in our program because we know that they might relapse. They pose safety threats to the rest of our residents.
But he decided to take a chance on Stephanie, now 8 months clean and living, she says, for her daughter.
I know for sure that I'm lucky to be alive right now. It's by the grace of God that I'm alive.
Flaca, also known as gravel, has spread to other parts of the country, including Chicago, Houston, and Kentucky, as well as New York. Under pressure from the U.S., the Chinese recently made the manufacturing and exporting of Flaca illegal. The effect here in the U.S. is yet to be seen.
Some frightening stuff. Cynthia, thank you. When we come back, feel like catching some rays? Why you may not to be able to anymore in tanning beds. Today, in a move praised by medical experts, the FDA proposed unprecedented new rules to ban anyone under 18 from using tanning beds, which the FDA says dramatically increase the risk of skin cancer. The industry says consumers are already well aware of the risks. With 74,000 new cases of melanoma this year, Erica Hill reports on this proposal the FDA says will save lives.
As skin cancer rates rise dramatically in the U.S., there's an urgent focus on a known cause, indoor tanning beds.
We commonly see women in their 20s with melanoma. Almost every one of those young women has spent extensive time in a tanning bed.
The FDA now wants to bar all minors under 18 from using indoor tanning beds and would also require adults to sign a consent form acknowledging the risks. A number of states already regulate access for minors, while 13 states in the District of Columbia now ban the practice entirely for those under 18. The Indoor Tanning Association says the decision should be left up to parents. Dr. Deborah Sarnoff sees the damage almost daily.
Are these proposals enough? No. In my opinion, I wish that we could just shut down the tanning industry as a whole, because I think that these ultraviolet boxes, it's a proven carcinogen.
At 24, Melissa Cohen was diagnosed with early-stage melanoma.
I was definitely shocked.
2 years later, this medical student sees tanning in a much different light.
My message would be that tanning does not make you more beautiful and to just really take care of yourself.
Erica Hill, NBC News, New York.
When we come back, high schoolers about to vote in their first presidential election, who could teach the candidates a thing or two themselves. Finally, if you're disillusioned by the sometimes nasty tone of the presidential campaign, think what it's like for those about to vote for the first time. Tonight we meet young people coming of age as voters who want more from the candidates than cynical soundbites. Here's Kevin Tibbles in our series America's Correspondent.
Chester is far enough from New York City to be rustic and close enough to commute. A blue and white collar refuge where the morning bustle at the Chester Academy is well underway.
Be responsible, be respectful.
Words that are a guiding force at Principal Dennis Petrolak's socially, economically, and racially diverse school. He wrote us concerned how respect and responsibility often seem missing on the campaign trail. The fact many presidential candidates stand accused of playing fast and furious with the truth, he says, will come with a price.
The people that violate the public trust really damage us. It has a possibility to turn young people off to government. And if they do not embrace their role in that process, then I'm not sure what we'll be left with.
The kids are paying attention, many of whom will vote for the first time.
If someone is going to hold the keys to your America,
to your future. If I can trust them, it's a big, big factor.
I'm very suspicious of the politicians. They say what they want, what they want us to hear.
Most people are apathetic because they feel they're being lied to, and politicians can lie because people are apathetic to the process.
Kids here know where they'll wind up if they don't play fair. Are those seeking the highest office in the land listening?
It would be interesting to have a principal reprimand presidential candidates.
A shiny new generation prepares to exercise its right to vote, and it wants honesty, respect, and responsibility. Kevin Tibbles, NBC News, Chester, New York.
That'll do it for us on a Friday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching. Have a great weekend and a good night.